to the fantasy's finest fantasy football podcast. Here are your hosts, William Spencer, Jalen McQueen, and Mark Carter.
What's going on? Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy's Finest Podcast. I am your host, William Spencer. I'm sure y'all know this by now. But today, this is going to be a special episode because it's one, it's special, and two, it's long overdue. Special shout out to Jeff and Aaron for allowing me to come over and host the Fantasy's Finest Podcast at the primetime Fantasy Football League draft. It was such a great experience because it was live. It was recorded live. I got to hang around with my boys and talk a little fantasy football from an analyst perspective, watching the draft unfold. I believe we did about the first five, maybe six rounds of the draft. You know, you go any longer, it's going to be longer than an hour or so. So we cut the episode to about the first five or six rounds. And it was just a great overall experience. You know, we were talking crap. You know, it's so much going on. You got league mates talking trash to each other, making their picks. You know, I had a couple guys come on the mic to be able to talk a bit about some of the picks that have been made from their perspective. It was just a great overall experience, and I want to do it again. I have to apologize, though, because I did want to get out that episode last year, but I wasn't able to. And then we ended up having to cut the season short to only a couple episodes. So, you know, I apologize to those guys for that because I definitely wanted to get the episode out. But this is, you know, it's more of a flashback Friday type of thing. We get to go and recount some of the analytic mistakes that we may have made or some of the takes that we may have landed during the recording. So I want you guys to take a listen and let me know what you think. But here it is. The Fantasy's Finest Podcast at the Primetime Fantasy Football League Draft. Check it out.
And now for our feature presentation.
Come on, boy.
What's going on? Welcome to the Fantasy's Finest Podcast. I am your host, William Spencer, and actually got a different co-host today. He might be popping in for a little bit. He just gave me the shock face. We're actually doing a live draft. The Primetime League Commissioner hit me up, Jeff, invited me to break down the first couple of rounds of the draft. We're gonna get to talk to the reigning champion as well as the commissioner later on in the draft. We're going to try and catch up because when we got in, what's up? We're going to break down some of the moves that have already been made on the draft so far. The first round has already been underway. Actually, before we even started to come on to record, the first three picks were already placed into the draft. So we're going to go across and give you the names of the guys who will be at which spot. Pop will be picking first overall. Vic will be picking second. Aaron will be picking third. Jeff will be picking fourth. Jeff is the commissioner of the Primetime League, one of the commissioners of the Primetime League. Shad will be picking fifth. Dez will be picking sixth. Car Wash, yeah, his name is Car Wash, will be picking seventh, I believe. Keem is eighth. Sewell is ninth. Will will be 10th. No Cap will be 11th. And Driz will be picking 12th overall. So that's your lineup for what the draft will be right now. Now let's get into the picks because, like I said, the picks are already underway. But before we jump into that, make sure you follow the podcast on all your social media. We're on TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, all your social media accounts at fantasyfinest.com. And you can follow me on Twitter as well, at @hype_finest. Now, the first round has already been completed. So we're going to go through the first round real quick. Now, the first one, see, I'm already in the mood. I got to shut that off. Now, the first round, Pop went Jonathan Taylor. That's your typical pick for the fantasy year this year. Jonathan Taylor has gone first based off his performance from last season. He's been one of the shoo-ins to be the 101 for fantasy drafters this year. So that's kind of a no-brainer. The second pick is rather interesting. Vic went Christian McCaffrey. Now, considering the amount of time that Christian McCaffrey's missed over the last two seasons, he's missed 23 games over the last two seasons. Now, is it risky to pick Christian McCaffrey that early in the draft? Yes and no. Yes, because his injury history is what it is. But he's able to perform at a high level when he's out there on the field. So it's more of a catch-22, I guess, if you're taking Christian McCaffrey that early. The next pick, Aaron went Derrick Henry. Now, if you've been following me on social media, Derrick Henry's my consensus 101 because he gets so much more work as opposed to the other running backs. Even in PPR formats, Derrick Henry was outpacing Jonathan Taylor over the first half of the season before he went down with his season-ending injury. Or he came back in the playoffs, but he missed the rest of the remainder of the fantasy season. But Derrick Henry is a player that a lot of people are kind of shy on picking up that early. And I don't understand why. Because he had one injury last year that kind of took him out. But he's been pretty solid over the course of his career. But picking him that in the top three, I think that's a smart move. I wouldn't have let him slip past me if I was picking third overall. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Jeff, one of the commissioners of the league, he went and picked Jamar Chase, fourth overall. Jamar Chase, the Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver, he picked him fourth overall over Cooper Kupp and Justin Jefferson. Now, to his credit, he did say, I'm going to shake up the league before making this pick. So that's definitely a bit of a shakeup, him going that early. Jamar Chase going, you know, somewhere in the seventh or eighth pick, but he chose to be bold. So he went Jamar Chase fourth overall. Dalvin Cook went number five. That's a pretty solid pick for Shad. Dalvin Cook is expected to be more involved in the passing game this year, so I feel like that's a positive pick. Dez went Austin Eckler. I'm actually shocked Austin Eckler went at the sixth overall pick. Austin Eckler has been considered one of the guys who will be picked within the top four or top five. So he gets a little bit of value there with Austin Eckler. Austin Eckler was one of the top running backs in the league last year in terms of fantasy. He gets a lot of passing work in one of the best passing offenses in the league. So Austin Eckler getting him at six is a pretty solid pick. Car Wash cleaned up. He went and picked Cooper Kupp, who slid all the way to the seventh pick. That's probably the best value you're going to see in the first round to be able to get Cooper Kupp, who was the number one wide receiver in fantasy last year, to fall out of the top five picks to where Car Wash got him. Car Wash got him at the, what was that, you picking seventh? Picking seventh overall. That's crazy. Now here, Keem went a different route for his pick. He's picking eighth. Keem went Travis Kelce in the first round at the eighth pick. Now, I get Travis Kelce is one of the bigger tight ends that you can get in fantasy, but to get him with all these other names that are still out there, Justin Jefferson, who was out there, Deebo Samuel, Najee Harris, Stephon Diggs, Travis Kelce.
Reach!
There we go. There we go. I couldn't say it no better. Sewell picked up. He picked up a nice pick with Justin Jefferson at the ninth spot. That's a no-brainer. You can't let Justin Jefferson slide past you. Will went Deebo Samuel with the 10th pick. It's not a bad pick. I'm just concerned about what the quarterback situation could be right now. Trey Lance is a bit unproven. He's a bit inconsistent with his ball placement. And Brandon Ayuk has really been getting a lot of hype this offseason. He's really been able to connect with Trey Lance during the course of the training camp and the offseason so far. So Deebo, we know what Deebo can do when the quarterback is good. And then Jimmy Garoppolo is still lurking around. He restructured his contract to stay with the 49ers this year as the backup. So it'll be interesting to see if Trey Lance will be on any kind of leash this year and how it will affect the wide receiver position for the 49ers. Najee Harris was the next pick. Cap went Najee Harris. That's a solid pick to be able to get him in the back of the first round. And then Stephon Diggs closes out the first round with with Driz picking up Stephon Diggs. I thought that was a good move. Then coming around the turn, because it is a snake draft, he's coming around and he's taking Davante Adams. So he's got a solid base as his wide receivers. Next, going back, Cat picks up CeeDee Lamb. I think that's a good pick too. CeeDee Lamb's expected to have a big season because there's no Amari Cooper. Michael Gallup is out for probably the first few games of the season as he continues to work his way back from the ACL. Next up, Will went DeAndre Swift going running back. I actually like DeAndre Swift in the second round. I haven't been able to get him in any of my drafts, but Swift, if he can stay on the field, he has top 10 running back ability. Alvin Kamara. Is the next pick going back down towards the second. That's a solid pick. Alvin Kamara, it all depends on Jameis Winston being able to stay healthy, because the quarterback situation for the New Orleans Saints is not good after you get past Jameis Winston. And Kamara was one of the top running backs while Winston was still on the field. I think I like that pick. Nick Chubb is the next pick going down by Keem. He went running back. Chubb is a solid running back one, low-end running back one. He doesn't get a lot of work in PPR formats because he doesn't catch the ball. The Cleveland Browns tend to go with Kareem Hunt at that point for the pass-catching ability. But Nick Chubb is solid. Joe Mixon is the next pick by Car Wash. That's a nice balance between wide receiver, and running back. Mixon is pretty solid. He has top-five ability. Saquon Barkley with his second-round pick. He has Eckler and Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley, his fantasy value has increased over the offseason. I believe he started around the third or fourth round. His fantasy value was falling a bit. But then as the offseason went on, training camp went on, and you got to see more and more of Saquon Barkley, his fantasy value went up. That's a solid pick. Tyreek Hill is the next pick by Shad. Dalvin Cook and Tyreek Hill are his first two picks. I like Tyreek Hill at that spot. Tyreek Hill should still see a lot of volume in the Miami Dolphins offense. He's one of the bigger offseason acquisitions by the Miami Dolphins. And Tua Tagovailoa has a lot to prove this year. So they've armed him with a lot of weapons. It'll be interesting to see how the deep threat that Tyreek Hill presents when it comes to opposing defenses, how he'll be this year. But Tyreek Hill is still going to be one of the fastest wide receivers out on the field. It's just a matter of whether Tua can hit him consistently. Who's I can't see that. What's Jeff's second pick?
Aaron Jones.
He loves some Aaron Jones. Jeff with Aaron Jones with his second pick. But that's not actually bad to get him where he got him this time. We actually did a draft before, and he picked Aaron Jones inside the top five. That was a bit puzzling, but he went and got him in the second round. I like that pick a lot better this time around for Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones should see a lot of volume as a pass catcher with Aaron Rodgers this year as being one of his most consistent targets. Is that Javonte Williams right there too? That's not bad. I like Aaron went Javonte Williams with his second pick. We don't know whether or not the reports are going to be accurate as to whether they're going to continue to split work between Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon is still going to be around, but Javonte Williams has the most upside between the two. I hope that they give him the major majority of the work.
Let me tell y'all how y'all did so far. Let me jump in.
Hold on, we got Petty P.
Let me jump in.
Petty P about to jump in. He's about to give his.
Let me do the first two.
He's going to give his evaluation of what the first. You going to let him do it? Yeah, Petty. I want to hear what he got to say too, man. I don't get to have him on that much. So I mean, go ahead, say your piece real quick. What you got to say?
Let me talk to the people real quick. First of all, let me just say this. I am the old owner of Top Tier.
Oh Lord.
I used to run the best fantasy football network in the tri-state. But I'm giving my life to the Lord, so I had to fall back a little bit. But with that being said, I just want to give my commentation on the first two picks so far.
In the third round, or are you going back to the
first?
No,
we're just
going
to stick to the first two.
Okay. Jonathan Taylor and Christian McCaffrey?
Jonathan Taylor and Leonard Fournette.
Oh, you going by team?
I'm just going
okay.
to.
Okay, okay.
Just by teams. I'm not mad at Fournette, but I don't believe he's a top five running back with Tom having too many situations going on at home. I don't think Tom is going to finish the season. I know that's giving a little bit too much sauce, but I don't have Tom Brady finish the season this year.
Really?
And I got the Bucks falling off this year.
Wow. Now, is it Tom Brady's situation that you're concerned about, or is it? I mean, I'm not going to try and draw too much sauce from, because I know we got a couple more drafts me and you were in. But you think his home situation has really impacted his play this year?
You gotta please the wife. No matter what happens, you have to please the wife. Yeah, and Tom Brady had chances after chances after chances. Giselle was not playing that no more. Yeah. Giselle said, all right, you go out there if you want to. Your bag's going to be packed. One day he's going to go home, and all his stuff is going to be on the lawn.
For Tom Brady?
For Tom Brady.
Oh, wow.
And then he's going to call. He's going to call. I don't know who the coach is over there right now.
It's Bowles, Todd Bowles.
Okay, he's going to call Todd Bowles. He's going to say, I'm sorry, bro. Can't lose her.
Yeah, Giselle is nice, though.
So long story being short, I'm not big on Tampa Bay this year. Okay. I'm just not big on Tampa.
All right.
Now, and with him being out of shape coming into camp.
Oh, you think he's out of shape?
That can cause injuries, and Fournette is not the most durable running back in his history in Jacksonville. So
yeah, he did come into camp overweight.
That was a big thing
this offseason with
him. That's just my opinion.
Now, to close out the second round, Mark Andrews and Leonard Fournette are the last two picks of the second round. Those are good picks. Mark Andrews is going to be one of the most targeted tight ends in the league. Now, he did speak on Leonard Fournette. It's interesting that he brought that up, because Rashad White has been getting a lot of attention this offseason. He's the backup for Leonard Fournette in that Tampa Bay Buccaneers backfield. Keep your eye on what happens to Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette does have a potential to be able to get some added volume as a pass catcher. You don't have Chris Godwin starting the season. He's likely going to start out slow. Russell Gage, who was an offseason acquisition, he hasn't practiced since the beginning of August. So you're down to Mike Evans and Julio Jones. Julio Jones has looked good in training camp, but we all know Julio Jones' hamstrings are made out of paper. So it's only a matter of time before he goes out. Leonard Fournette should benefit from the lack of targets Tom Brady has, but Rashad White has looked good as well, so it's something to keep your eye on. Going around the curve to the third round, Keenan Allen, James Conner, Mike Evans, Michael Pittman, and Cam Akers are the next five picks. Now, Keenan Allen is a solid pick in the third round if you're going wide receiver. Pop's team so far is Jonathan Taylor, Leonard Fournette, and Keenan Allen. So his wide receiver one is Keenan Allen, one of the most highly targeted wide receivers in the league, one of the best passing offenses in the league with the Los Angeles Chargers. James Conner is the RB1 for the Arizona Cardinals. His injury history has been questionable in the past. He was able to stay healthy for the majority of the season last year, so hopefully he's able to build off of that. He's going to be the RB2 for Vic, because he has Christian McCaffrey, Mark Andrews, and James Conner. Aaron went and picked Mike Evans. He's the wide receiver one for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He has Derrick Henry, Javonte Williams, and Mike Evans. I like the Mike Evans pick. He should be heavily targeted earlier on in the season until it starts to temper out when Chris Godwin is at 100%. And if Julio Jones is able to stay healthy and Russell Gage come back, then you have a more competent or a more involved wide receiver core. Michael Pittman is one of my favorite picks in the draft for fantasy this year. Pittman has a new wide receiver. A new quarterback in town in Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan loves to target his number one wide receivers. Michael Pittman should be in route for an even bigger season this year with Matt Ryan throwing the ball. A lot of people, this next pick, Shad went Cam Akers, and a lot of people have been nervous about him. He's returning from touring Achilles last year. He played in the playoffs last year when the Rams went to the Super Bowl. Akers wasn't that bad. He just ran into a lot of defenses that were good against the run. So Akers didn't look great in that playoff run when he came back with barely any practice to go into the postseason. I do like Cam Akers. They've been wanting to get him more involved as a pass catcher. Darryl Henderson has been getting a lot of buzz. Sean McVay has come out and said that Akers and Henderson are both running back ones. I'm not buying it because the workloads have been distributed between his starting running backs and his backups, and it's a disparity between both. Henderson was the RB1 last year when Cam Akers went out, and he got the majority of the work. But he only averaged 14 carries over the beginning of the first half of the season. And then when Sony Michel came in, he took over and he averaged 21 carries. And Henderson didn't get any work. If Cam Akers can prove that he can stay healthy and he's 100%, I expect Akers to be able to take that backfield and Henderson be there to spell him. Now, Dez didn't go wide receiver with his next pick. He went Kyle Pitts. Now, I like that pick because Kyle Pitts is going to – I like Kyle Pitts this season. I think he's going to have a bigger season with Marcus Mariota throwing him the ball. Mariota loves to target his tight ends. You remember Delanie Walker when he was with Tennessee? Delanie Walker had over 20% target share in over his time with Marcus Mariota as the QB1. Hopefully Kyle Pitts gets to do something similar. You know what? That's what's up. My man just slid me the draft board because it's a little hard to see from where I'm sitting. So it's on the iPad. My man just slid me an iPad with the latest picks. This is love. This is love right here. This is awesome. Now, yeah, car wash is after the Kyle Pitts pick. Ezekiel Elliott went in the third round. That's a solid pick. He actually got a value there with Ezekiel Elliott going in the middle of the third round. It's not a bad pick. A lot of people are expecting Ezekiel Elliott to fall off. I think a lot of people are ignoring the fact that Zeke was banged up last year. He had to deal with a partially torn PCL last year, and a rib injury that kind of hindered him last year. But over the start of the season, Zeke was balling. 90 yards averaging over the first five games, 86 yards average over the first six games. He was cooking, but he ended up getting hurt, and it started to slow his production. I expect Zeke to bounce back this year. Keem decided to go quarterback in the third round and pick Patrick Mahomes as his next pick. Now, I can't say this is a bad pick in the third round to grab Patrick Mahomes. I'm actually shocked. He is the first quarterback to go off the board. The problem is Keem's build so far for his team. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like. Oh, Lord, they done handed. They done handed the commissioner.
One more pick. Then Pete, you're going to come bless the mic. You're going to give out your analysis.
They handed the commissioner a mic. Lord.
Oh, he's only here to pay his disrespects. Okay. Straight from Dover Beach. Not being in the hype.
Oh, man. The commissioner is now armed with a microphone. Lord help us. I don't know. Patrick Mahomes there. Two Chiefs players for Keem's team. And then a running back, a low-end running back one in a PPR format league. All the players that he could have gotten, I don't think he's starting off on a good foot. Sewell comes back. His team so far is Justin Jefferson, Alvin Kamara, and then he picked Travis Etienne for the third round. I think that's – Travis Etienne's been talked up this year, this offseason. He should be one of the best pass catchers for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And he has breakaway speed. That kid is fast. If he gets out in the open field, I think he's going to be a problem. I like Travis Etienne. A.J. Brown. Will went A.J. Brown with his third-round pick. A.J. Brown's grown on me. I'm hoping that Jalen Hurts is able to turn the page and be a better quarterback this year. He didn't do very well last season in terms of passing, but his rushing ability was one of the things that kept his fantasy value at a high pitch. He finished seventh among quarterbacks in fantasy points last season. If he can be a much better passer with A.J. Brown, expect A.J. Brown to be a top 12 top 10 wide receiver. You're going to have A.J. Brown being used in the red zone for the Eagles this year. He's going to be one of the most heavily targeted wide receivers in a running-based offense, which he's not unfamiliar with because there was the same situation when A.J. Brown was with the Tennessee Titans. So A.J. Brown, he was the wide receiver 12 coming off of boards not too long ago per Underdog Fantasy near ADP chart. So Brown's grown on me. And y'all know if I'm not an Eagles fan. I'm a Cowboys fan. But AJ Brown, you can't be biased in when it comes to fantasy. AJ Brown could have a big year this year. The next pick, no caps. Next pick is that? Hey Cap, is that Mike Williams? For no, yes, JP. That's solid. I like it. Mike Williams. Huh? No, Mike Williams is one of the wide receivers that I think is a little bit slept on because Keenan Allen is still there. But you got to remember, Mike Williams started a season last year was crazy. He was a top 10 wide receiver over the first 5 weeks of the season. He banged up his knee. And he wasn't quite the same the rest of the year. He was still heavily targeted and involved in the offense. I believe he had like 120-plus targets last season. Justin Herbert is going to get Mike Williams the ball. And if he can stay healthy the rest of the season, he can finish inside the top 10 among wide receivers. Now, finishing out the third round, Driz decided to go Elijah Mitchell. I like that pick is pretty good. I'm steady looking at the board and it's on the clip. Of course, I have it. The only concern I have with Mitchell is his injuries. When Mitchell is on the field, he's going to be the running back one. He's going to get all the volume. He's going to be involved in the pass game. But he did get banged up a bit last season. He missed a few games. And I think he missed some games going towards the playoffs where fantasy managers needed him the most. If he can stay on the field with San Francisco and Shanahan calling the shots for the running backs, Mitchell's ceiling is a much higher than a lot of people perceive. But he's got to stay on the field. He's got to stay healthy. But the volume's going to go through Mitchell. That's a solid pick, especially considering when you look at Driz's team. He has Davante Adams, Stephon Diggs, and Elijah Mitchell for his starting unit. And he comes back around, stays in San Fran, and picks George Kittle. Now, I'm going to be honest, because Driz is looking at me right now as I'm giving his analysis. I am a bit worried about George Kittle. Jimmy Garoppolo kept George Kittle involved in the offense, but Trey Lance is going to be the guy this year. And generally, tight ends are a rookie quarterback's favorite target, but Trey Lance did not look consistent when it came to throwing the ball. We know he has a big arm, so we know that he can get the ball downfield and he can hit those big plays. But how is he going to be in the intermediate game? That's going to be where George Kittle makes his money, and Trey Lance has to be able to prove that because Jimmy Garoppolo is waiting in the wings. He's still there. They restructured, like I said earlier, they restructured his contract. He's going to be the backup for the 49ers this year. Is Trey Lance going to be on a leash? Or is Trey Lance going to be able to get free roam and run the rest of the season? And if he can be consistent as a passer in those intermediate plays, then George Kittle should be fine. But he has to prove that when he gets out there on the field. And we're actually caught up to the draft board. The fourth round is underway. Kittle was the first pick in the fourth round, going back down. And now Petty P is up there giving his analysis of the draft board right now. We're basically caught up. It's an interesting draft so far. If I had to pick and say who has the best team right now, it would have to be between Driz, Jeff, and Aaron. They probably have the top three teams in the league. Now, let me recap. Driz has Davante Adams, Stephon Diggs, Elijah Mitchell, and George Kittle. Aaron has Derrick Henry, Javonte Williams, and Mike Evans. And then, who did I say was my third pick? Jeff. Jeff has Ja'Marr Chase, Aaron Jones, and Michael Pittman. Now, we talked about Ja'Marr Chase being a reach, going fourth overall. But Ja'Marr Chase is going to be one of those top – he's one of the top three wide receivers coming off the boards early. You probably just – if you're playing the ADP game, it's just semantics. Chase is still a first-round grab. He may have been behind Justin Jefferson and Cooper Kupp in terms of average draft position, but Chase is still going to go in the first round. So, I mean, you know, you can take it or leave it if you believe he shouldn't have been picked there. But in terms of the team building, so far, those are my top three teams. If I had to pick the worst team so far, it would have to be Keen, Travis Kelce, Nick Chubb, and Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, so far to this point, going into the fourth round, is the only quarterback that's been picked off the board. And Keen passed on a lot of talent going back up. Now, you're going up the draft board. You're going up the draft board in the third round to get Mahomes. Keenan Allen, James Conner, Mike Evans, Michael Pittman, Cam Akers, Kyle Pitts, and Ezekiel Elliott all went before Patrick Mahomes. Now, after that, you have Travis Etienne, A.J. Brown, Mike Williams, and Elijah Mitchell. Keem could have went wide receiver. He could have went running back and bolstered up his team, but he chose to go Patrick Mahomes. It'll be interesting to see how he builds out the rest of his team, but it's a little bit questionable to start over the first four rounds. Right now they're discussing who's going to make their next pick. No cap is on the clock. And P is still giving his analysis. Now he's looking at Drake. Now he's looking at Drake's team. He's giving his breakdown. You can't really hear him. He just told Drake his team is all good. Yeah, the commissioner turned on the mic, and Petty P went up there to pay his disrespects to the league as a former member. What are you saying up there, Vic?
I don't know what he's saying. Best team after 3 rounds.
Best team after 3 rounds? Who you got, Petty P?
3 rounds. It will. I'm the Sims. I ain't talking Sims.
Yeah. Okay, no cap. I just seen the board. No cap went Josh Allen with his fourth round pick. That's a nice pick right there to get Josh Allen. With his team, no cap has Najee Harris, CeeDee Lamb, Mike Williams, and now Josh Allen. Josh Allen gives you some rushing ability, especially in the red zone. They like to use his legs in scoring positions. Josh Allen is one of the top quarterbacks in the league, and the Bills have a solid pass offense. They're going to use I can't speak out too much because I don't want to give anything away because guys are still drafting. But Josh Allen has a lot of weapons around him, if you know what I mean. Will went David Montgomery. Now, normally David Montgomery wouldn't be a bad pick, but there's some things surrounding David Montgomery. Heading into this season, they got a new offensive coordinator. They have a new coaching staff. Matt Nagy is gone. But the latest reports on David Montgomery is that he doesn't fit the system that they're doing right now, which is puzzling. But they know they have David Montgomery there. Khalil Herbert was one of the names that came up as being a better fit in that new Bears offense. But we'll have to see. David Montgomery in the fourth round isn't bad. Thank you. David Montgomery in the fourth round is not bad. Let me see who else is. I'll come back and see who else is available. The next pick for Sewell went Justin Herbert. Now the quarterbacks are starting to come off the board. Justin Herbert is Sewell's fourth round pick. His team so far is Justin Jefferson, Alvin Kamara, Travis Etienne, and Justin Herbert. Herbert's in one of the best passing offenses in the league in terms of volume. They finished inside the top five in pass attempts last season. Herbert's going to be throwing the ball around to everybody. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. I'm getting the mics mixed up. Mike Williams, Austin Eckler is going to be a beneficiary. They're going to sling the ball. That's how they move the ball up and down the field. So Herbert, I like Herbert as a fourth round pick. And Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Justin Herbert are normally going to be your first quarterbacks coming off the boards in the early part of the draft anyway. My strategy has always been to wait on quarterbacks. I want to fill up my team with other talent at different positions, especially running back, because running back's still one of the shallowest. I can always wait on tight end and grab somebody else or one of the guys that I think is going to do better this year. But, everybody's starting to get quiet now. This is where we start to get – oh, wow. Petty P just showed me a report from the NewJersey.com. Tom Brady, the article headline is Tom Brady's wife, Giselle – I'm not going to try and pronounce her last name because I don't know how to say that – packs up and leaves after arguments over his unretirement. This is just one day ago. Now, that's news. If – she's upset about Tom Brady unretiring. I kind of get that because he did retire for about, 3 months? And then he was like, nah, I'm coming back. But Giselle is upset. Apparently, per the article, that she's packed up her bags and left. Could it affect Tom Brady? We'll have to see when the season starts. That'll be an interesting narrative. I wonder if anybody will touch over that once the game starts.
Hey.
So what's Philly? No, we're heading into the middle part of the fourth round. I think this is when fantasy managers start to put their thinking caps on, because it's starting to get more names are going to come off the board. It's going to get a bit tougher as you start heading out towards the later rounds of the draft, and this is where you can make your break your fantasy team. You'll have to see. Well, it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. We're probably going to go one or two more rounds. I want to get a chance to talk to the reigning champion and the commissioner when he get a chance before we shut it down. We're already in the fourth round. I want to try and at least get to the fifth round, and then we'll break down the draft. I'll probably break down the draft a little later. But Aaron, when you get a chance, I know you're moving around. When you get a chance, I want to get you on the mic real quick. I got some questions for you as the reigning champ of primetime. So when you get an opportunity.
You heard it, right? Reigning champ.
Aaron up here talking trash to Petty P. The Petty P enjoying his Funyuns.
Remember the year I told Aaron if he beat me, I'd give him $20?
Uh-oh.
Just for you to lose, you ain't even making
some
chips. You lost some chips. You got smoked like
that.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Insults is slinging. This is fantasy trash talk at his finest.
Who is it?
T. Higgins.
Oh, my God. Yo, Keem is
wrong. Keem took T. Higgins? Okay, Keem has finally drafted a wide receiver, and his wide receiver one for his team is T. Higgins. That's a stupid pick. Oh my goodness. It's gotta be. Now let me clarify. T. Higgins is not a bad player, but he's not a wide receiver one for a fantasy team. I would say at least he has maybe borderline that kind of upside, but you have Jamar Chase there as the wide receiver one for the Bengals. So to get T. Higgins as your wide receiver one for your team makes no sense. Now, let me remind you, Keem's team is Travis Kelce, Nick Chubb, Patrick Mahomes, and now T. Higgins. That's a bit baffling. That's a bit baffling to say the least. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that at all. That's just – Keem is one of the most – now, I've done a draft with him before. He's – his style of draft is very different. And this is what I mean when I say, like, I've done videos on TikTok. I've said it on Twitter. You can come into the draft and have a very good plan, but there's always one or two leaguers that do something that's unorthodox or just outright strange. And it changes the scope of the draft. So you can come in and have a plan. You may want to draft running back, you know, zero RB. You may want to go wide receiver heavy. But they do things to twist up the draft and knock it off his heel. So you just got to be prepared. When you come into the draft, have your plan. There's nothing wrong with having a plan, but be flexible. Make sure that you can be able to adjust without jacking up your fantasy team, and then be able to move in different directions when runs may start or you have just odd picks happening.
Mike Higgins and T. Higgins and what?
Now, Car Wash has made his next play. He's picked Darren Waller. I like Darren Waller. A lot of people, the word around the fantasy community is that because Davante Adams is there, Darren Waller is not going to see as much work as he normally sees. But when you look at the Raiders' offense, and you look at their wide receiver position, you have Davante Adams, you have Hunter Renfrow, and who else? Who else is that wide receiver who's going to pull more targets away from Darren Waller? Darren Waller is used all over the field. He's especially used in the red zone. So I'm trying to understand how many targets do people think that Davante Adams is going to see? Could he see his 150 targets under Derek Carr? Of course. But Derek Carr threw a career-high 626 pass attempts last season. They're going to have to throw the ball, if not that much or if not more, this year to try and justify Davante Adams on the team. You're not going to give – this is one instance where you're not going to give away targets just to appease Davante Adams. They're going to work in Darren Waller. He's still going to be involved in the offense. He may see if he sees any kind of drop off in terms of targets, I don't think it'll be significant where you're not going to pick him up. And you're getting him in the fourth. Car Wash is getting him in the fourth round. That's not a bad pick. Terry McLaurin is the next pick. Dez goes Terry McLaurin. This is why. Now, Terry McLaurin is a low end wide receiver one. He gets Carson Wentz as his new quarterback this year. Carson Wentz was one of the better deep ball throwers last year. He finished sixth overall in deep ball completions. Terry McLaurin should be able to benefit with Carson Wentz being there. But we need the Carson Wentz that started with the Indianapolis Colts over the first half of the season, not the second half. Whatever was going on with Carson Wentz that second half of his year with the Colts, he has to get rid of that and get that out of his head, because it'll impact his wide receivers. I think Michael Pittman could have finished a lot higher if Carson Wentz was more consistent down the stretch of that season last year. Now, Shad went DK Metcalf. Hold on, excuse me. Hey, Aaron, your tablet locked. It's locked.
Now,
why you always gotta say something slick?
Is it your son's?
It's mine.
You don't like him, Shad?
You don't have a grown man password, bro?
Hold on.
Who's using it?
Lord. Petty P and Aaron going back and forth, man.
6, are you crazy?
Who's using it? It's not me. What you want to find?
They love beefing. It's funny. Oh, man, they crazy.
It's in person.
All right, getting back to the draft. Shad went and got DK Metcalf. Now,
Kyler Murray.
Normally, getting DK Metcalf at the fourth is a nice value, but Geno Smith looks to be the QB1 for the Seattle Seahawks this year. I can't buy into Metcalf. Now, Shad's getting Metcalf at a value, so I can't knock him for getting him there. But DK Metcalf was a top 12 wide receiver just a season ago. He finished a little low in the season last year. Russell Wilson got banged up. His numbers suffered a little bit compared to his prior season in 2020. But if there's a glimmer of hope, the four games that Geno Smith started with DK Metcalf, they were pretty solid. The problem is can Geno Smith do that on a week-to-week basis? You have a sample size of those four games, which isn't bad. But if Geno Smith is going to start the season and start the entire season for the Seattle Seahawks, DK Metcalf is strictly tied to Geno Smith and how he can produce. They should be in bad game scripts this year. I don't see Seattle running away with a lot of games. That means hopefully if Metcalf can't produce based on his normal production, maybe being used downfield, maybe he can benefit from being heavily targeted, getting that volume in Seattle as the number one wide receiver. Jeff went Josh Jacobs with his next pick after Shad. News on Josh Jacobs has been all over the place in this offseason. They drafted Zamir White. Josh Jacobs, his fifth-year option wasn't picked up. Josh Jacobs, this could be his last year. I don't see Josh Jacobs getting signed to a bigger deal after this year. Like I said, they already drafted Zamir White. Zamir White could push Josh Jacobs for starting reps during the season. They don't have Kenyon Drake anymore. Kenyon Drake signed with the Baltimore Ravens just last week. So it's a matter of whether Josh Jacobs is still going to be used or will they give a chance to Zamir White and let him take the reins. I'm a little bit leery. I wouldn't go Josh Jacobs as my running back too. But if Josh Jacobs still gets the volume, it'll be good. But me, I couldn't take Josh. I'm staying away from Josh Jacobs. He's on my fade list this year. I'm already posting my fades, my top five fades on TikTok. You can go check that out there. But no, I'm staying away from Josh Jacobs. Now, this is an interesting pick. Because Allen Robinson for his second wide receiver, the fourth round pick. Now, Allen Robinson is going to be the wide receiver two behind Cooper Kupp, but Allen Robinson should have a good year this year. The amount of volume that Allen Robinson could get, and I don't think they're going to treat Allen Robinson like they treated Robert Woods. Robert Woods had to beg to get targeted last season with Cooper Kupp seeing all of the work. And I think there was a report that came out last year that he was like, you know, I want to catch the ball too. Like, throw me some targets. And then, like, I think they played Chicago, and then he saw, like, 13 targets. I got to fact check that. But he saw a lot of targets after he made that complaint out in the open. But I like Allen. Maybe Aaron could have got him a little bit later, maybe a round or two. But in this kind of league in PPR, I wouldn't chance it. So I think that I like that pick. Vic went Breece Hall as his third running back. I like Breece Hall this year. I'm not confident in Michael Carter holding on to that lead back role. I think you invest a second round pick in Breece Hall, you're not going to give Michael Carter those starter reps when you have a bigger back that does basically the same thing that Michael Carter does for your Jets offense. You're going to get Breece Hall involved. He didn't look great in the preseason games, but to his credit, the Jets' second string offensive line, they suck. I mean, I can't put it no better than that. So, Breece Hall with the starting unit, I'm looking like that. I really like that. Breece Hall as the number three running back on a squad, maybe a flex spot. I like that pick. Now, Deontay Johnson is the final pick by Pat. He picks up Deontay Johnson at the end of the fourth round. I'm going to be honest. I was a bit leery on this pick. And then I started to do some more research on the numbers. Mitchell Trubisky is going to be the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers this season. And Deontay Johnson still should see a bunch of targets. Mitchell Trubisky does like to target his wide receiver ones. Allen Robinson did benefit from seeing a heavy target share. It's getting heated now. Hold on, Vic. Vic and PR having a rather heated discussion. Oh, they talking. I think they talking basketball. They talking basketball at a fantasy football. All right, getting back to the draft. Mitchell Trubisky should still heavily target Deontay Johnson. He has a propensity to do that. He did it with Chicago with Allen Robinson. it's going to be a different dynamic in Pittsburgh. I do like Mike Tomlin. They bring out a little bit more out of Mitchell Trubisky this year. But getting Deontay Johnson there with Keenan Allen as your wide receiver one, Johnson is a solid wide receiver too. And then he comes around the turn, Pat picks Jalen Waddle. That's a nice wide receiver group right there. Keenan Allen, Deontay Johnson, and Jalen Waddle. That's a nice trio right there, wide receivers. I still think Tua Tagovailoa should see a bunch of Tua Tagovailoa should be throwing the ball a lot more than he's used to. That'll be interesting to see because he's never had that kind of target. I mean, excuse me, pass attempts in his career so far. But to be fair, he hasn't had a bunch of solid weapons either. Can you do me a favor? Just hit mute it for me. But just turn the sound on.
For the
drum.
Baby LeBron.
Hold on, what's up? Aaron came over, he's talking to him. What's up?
He was done 6 years early and all that.
Judy and... Nah, I'll do the other one. Who went? Hold on, we're catching up. Okay. Back to the draft.
Oh, MT.
Amon St. Brown. Vic went. Oh, Vic. Oh, Vic. Vic, this might be the first. This might be the first mistake of the draft. Vic was doing very solid, and then he went. Okay, now let me give you this real quick. Everybody's happy about. The fantasy community is, I feel like this. The fantasy community is a little bit split on Amon-Ra St. Brown. He had a strong finish as the Detroit Lion last year. His last four games were spectacular. Like the last four or five games of the season last year, he was probably a league winner. The problem, though, is that Amon-Ra St. Brown was the only wide receiver to be able to catch passes over those last five games with the Detroit Lions. They had no wide receivers. This year, they've drafted Jameson Williams. He's expected to come back a lot sooner than he's projected to because of the ACL. They have DJ Chark. Quez Cephas is not. He's a good wide receiver. I'm not crazy about Cephas. But you still have Hockenson coming back who was injured. You have DeAndre Swift who's going to catch passes out of the backfield. I'm not confident in Amon-Ra St. Brown being involved as much as he was last year. That kind of production that he got, I think, benefited from the fact that there was no other pass catchers there. But you got everybody coming back healthy. I can't see. I can't take. I'm leaving Amon-Ra off of my fantasy team this year. Aaron came back with his next pick in the fifth and took DJ Moore. That's not a bad pick. Getting DJ Moore in the fifth, that's a solid pick.
That's a great fifth.
Evans, Allen Robinson, and DJ Moore in the fifth. I can't knock that. DJ Moore should still be heavily targeted as one of the best pass catchers for the Carolina Panthers. Baker Mayfield is the quarterback there. You saw last year, before Sam Darnold last year started to just fall off a cliff after he got mollywopped by the Cowboys in week three, DJ Moore was one of the most targeted wide receivers in the game. He should benefit from seeing Baker Mayfield getting more targets from him. I like DJ Moore as a wide receiver three. Now, two more quarterbacks come off the board. Jeff goes Jalen Hurts for his fifth round pick. And then Shad goes Lamar Jackson. Now, Jalen Hurts, I already spoke on him earlier when Will took A.J. Brown in the third round. Jalen Hurts has a lot to prove this year. He finished as the top 10 quarterback for fantasy last year, but it wasn't much to do as a passer. He finished because of his rushing ability. Jalen Hurts looks nasty running the ball. He just looks like a freak, like almost like I dare say Lamar Jackson light. Hurts can break ankles. He can make plays with his feet. But they want to see him be able to pass the ball. And I would dare say that with the acquisition of A.J. Brown, I would expect Jalen Hurts to see an increase in pass attempts this year. It's just a matter of him being able to be consistent and being able to deliver the ball over the middle of the field. But that is what allows you to do when you have a wide receiver like A.J. Brown. And Dallas Goedert should be one of his other heavily targeted pass catchers. During training camp, it was reported that Dallas Goedert was very one of his favorite targets. So we'll see how that plays out this year in terms of targets that goes target distribution for the team. Now, Dez goes Jerry Jeudy with his next pick. Jeudy is going to. I like Jeudy. I like Jeudy in terms of being able to produce a lot more than he has been able to in the past. The quarterback play for the Denver Broncos has never been great. You had Drew Luck for a couple of seasons, and it just you could never get. You know, you had Drew Luck, you had Teddy Bridgewater. It just didn't come together with those quarterbacks. But now you have Russell Wilson in Denver. It's just so much better there with Russell there to be able to distribute the ball with Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton. So I like those two guys this season. Michael Thomas was Car Wash's next pick. Thomas, there's a lot of questions around him, whether he can get back to his 2019 status. He missed 2021 and 2020 with injuries. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Michael Thomas. He still should be one of the more heavily targeted wide receivers there. You're getting him in the fifth. So Car Wash's team, he has two wide receivers in Cooper Kupp and Michael Thomas. Mixon and Elliott are his running backs, and then Darren Waller is his tight end. That's not a bad group right there.
Good job,
Sue. Keem goes, wow, Keem went and got Cortland Sutton? That's a redemption move. I'm actually shocked he pulled that one off. Cortland Sutton is a wide receiver that should benefit from having Russell Wilson. Like I mentioned earlier with Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton is going to be the wide receiver one. Russell Wilson, I dare say you could probably see Cortland Sutton as this year's DK Metcalf with Russell Wilson. They're just going to use Cortland Sutton could probably have his best season of his career in terms of fantasy with Russell Wilson this year. You know Russ is going to throw the ball all over the place. If you're smart, you're going to get a piece of that Denver Broncos pass offense. Now, two more picks are in. Wow, two more picks are in. Sewell goes Gabriel Davis
he was over there by
in the fifth round. And then I believe that's Marquise Brown with Will. Yes, it's Marquise Brown with Will. Those two picks, for Gabriel Davis, I'll try and get him as low as he falls. I say maybe the sixth or seventh round if you can pull it. But Davis there in the fifth, a little bit of a reach. A little bit of a reach. A little, maybe. Let me see.
Marquise Brown had 1,000 yards last year.
Yeah, you put all the drops.
They're discussing the board right now. Sorry for the lapse. They're discussing the board. A new pick hasn't been put in just yet. We're going to pause real quick. All right, guys, we are back. Had to take a bit of a break, handle some business. We left off with Gabriel Davis, soul picking Gabriel Davis. I was debating on whether that was a reach or not, but his ADP has climbed a bit. Getting him in the back of the fifth round, not bad. Gabriel Davis is one of my favorite targets in fantasy. I have him projected to be a breakout candidate this year. Cole Beasley's gone, leaving around a bunch of targets. They're going to get Gabriel Davis more involved in the offense this year. They've been working together. Gabriel Davis and Josh Allen have been working together this offseason and really getting it together in training camp. I have high hopes for Gabriel Davis this year. Marquise Brown was the next pick by Will. Marquise Brown has been talked about a lot in fantasy circles because DeAndre Hopkins has been put on suspension for the next six games. It's all good. It's all good. I want all of this in here too. I want all this in here too. Because we're in the deeper rounds now. They're flipping back and forth between talking basketball and football. And we're heading into the ninth round. But I wanted to recap the end of the fifth round, because I'm going to shut it down because we were approaching our time. But we see how it's getting heated. It's mixing up trash talk. It's mixing up trash talk here. But Marquise Brown is expected to take the wide receiver one spot until DeAndre Hopkins comes back from his 6-game suspension. Arizona's another team that passes the ball a ton, so there's a lot of volume and a lot of work for Marquise Brown to benefit from, even after DeAndre Hopkins comes back.
Thank you, my man.
Getting a couple little sippy sips, you know what I'm saying? Hey, yo, Aaron, let me get one more. Hey, one more. Ooh, that's good. That's good right there. That's that water. That's that water.
That's my stuff right here.
Yeah, that's that water. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
I told people, like, yo, compliments of the champ.
Yeah, what is that?
That shit good, bro.
Bamboo?
I told him it was good because I'm a Henny boy. That shit give me Henny.
Yeah, they got the drinks flowing.
I'm a drinker.
In the draft of prime time. All right, so we covered Marquise Brown. Now, to close out the fifth round, Antonio Gibson and Miles Sanders are next on the board for no cap and Driz. Now, these two picks might be their worst picks, only because of what's been going on around each running back. Antonio Gibson has been speculated to have been losing his job to Brian Robinson. He was relegated to kick returns during training camp. He fumbled during the preseason game and got took out of the game. Ron Rivera was already speculated to be trying to get back the running game that he had in North Carolina. He said so himself. He said that he had the running backs to be able to do what they did with Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams, with Antonio Gibson and Brian Robinson. J.D. McKissic was already there splitting pass-catching work with Antonio Gibson last season. It was almost a 50-50 split in terms of passing work between them two. So Antonio Gibson was already losing or sharing pass-catching work with McKissic, and now he's expected to lose goal line work to Brian Robinson even more. So Antonio Gibson, if I'm looking at the board correctly, Antonio Gibson is no caps running back two. That's a bit shaky, especially if they do continue to on the path that Gibson is on and they don't use him. Now, we do know that Brian Robinson is on the NFI list. He's going to miss the next four games of the season. So Antonio Gibson has a chance to cement himself into the Washington offense, but this may be his last chance. If he blows it and Brian Robinson comes back and he's able to play at a high level, Gibson could be on his way out. He's got a shot. He's got 4 weeks to prove it. Now, as far as Miles Sanders goes, this is also Driz's RB2 so far on the team. Sanders is expected to continue to split work with the rest of the running backs on the Philadelphia Eagles. You have Kenny Gainwell. You have Boston Scott. Man, that stuff is strong. Let me put that cup to the side real quick. Wow. You have Boston Scott. You have Kenneth Gainwell back there. And the main culprit is Jalen Hurts, who's going to continue to be involved in the running game. Miles Sanders is a bit shaky. He even said so himself on a podcast with John Clark earlier this offseason. So to be able to expect Miles Sanders to be heavily involved or get the lion's share of work, that's a bit of a stretch. Huh? Cousin Keen? Yo, me and you got to talk because your first three picks, why'd you go Patrick Mahomes early like that?
Because I got the best quarterback in the league.
So I said you.
All right. Yeah. He's not.
I got the two best quarterbacks in the whole NFL on my team.
Okay. You got
the MVP.
Okay.
And the MVP before that MVP.
I'm gonna skip ahead a little bit because Keem went and got. He has Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers in the. What is this? He has Aaron Rodgers in the 9th round, and he has Patrick Mahomes on the 3rd. Now, all right, we're going to deviate because we were talking about Miles Sanders, but Keem, I had to grab Keem's attention. So he's got his team is because we're now in the 9th round, but I'm going to cut it on at the end of the 5th. because we're out of time. But Keem's team is Travis Kelce, Nick Chubb, Patrick Mahomes, T. Higgins, Courtland Sutton, Brandon Cooks, Kenneth Walker, Zach Ertz, Aaron Rodgers, and now Kenny Gainwell. Like, he I can admit that Keem turned his team around from the beginning. His running back situation is a little bit shaky because Kenneth Walker is going to be split and work with, or at least getting some reps behind Rashad Penny. I'm gonna tell you now, just playing with these guys. I can't go into the season gambling on whether or not, because quarterbacks are hard to move. Quarterbacks are hard to move for the value that you're trying to get them at. I'm not saying they don't have value, but when you're trying to trade quarterbacks, especially you grab two of the top.
I don't need a top two running back. I need a running back.
I mean,
you get what I just said?
You got bodies.
I don't need the top tiers. I need a running back. I need somebody that's going to get yards and playing time.
But you got Kenny Walker who's playing behind Rashad Penny.
Why you mad at me?
I don't know. That's a big question. I couldn't do that. I couldn't go the whole draft. I couldn't go five or six rounds. 1, 2, 3, 4. He went 4 rounds before picking up another running back in the 7th. I couldn't do that.
I just said that in a podcast.
But Miles Sanders, Keem is adamant about this pick. He's got 2 quarterbacks and a 1 quarterback lead. Car Wash actually did the same thing. He drafted Kyler Murray and Dak Prescott. Now, you always have the possibility of being able to flip your extra quarterback. It's just you got to know your league when you do stuff like that. If you know your league is not prone to being able to trade quarterbacks, you're going to be stuck with them 2 guys, and then it's going to hurt your team. I would rather draft from a position of strength throughout the draft, and then if I decide to pick another quarterback, I can get one later on because I already have my QB1 on my team. I'm not going to risk gambling on trying to trade a quarterback because if you know your league and you know your league does not trade quarterbacks, you're going to be stuck holding the bag. I've seen it happen before. I had one guy in one league. He took Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady back-to-back. He caused a run at quarterback. And then during the season, he tried to trade either Aaron Rodgers, and this is when Tom Brady was on the New England Patriots. He was trying to trade either Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers after the season had started, and he ended up missing the playoffs because he couldn't move either of those guys, and he had both of those guys on his bench. I mean, one or the other on his bench. He was rotating them every week. But because he didn't have a running back, he didn't have a good running back group, he ended up missing the playoffs. Like, that strategy is very risky to play in the middle of your draft, or hoping that by the end of your draft you can make one of those trades. You're going to be – what's up, Keith?
Look, throw this joint out to your people, right? Make sure you say, just because Shad got a good, talented team, we still got a coach.
True.
You
still got to set your lineup, too. What's up? No. I'm sorry, Jeff. No, he's not on the pup.
So if you remember what Cap said, he's going to bet me he's going to have a better record without no trades, right?
Yeah, I remember him saying that.
Receiver in Dallas this year.
Who? Michael Gallup?
Yeah,
I'm gonna
take him right now.
The disrespect. I feel. CD Lamb right there. But Gallup gonna be in on the offense though.
I'm gonna give you the number one receiver in Washington. I'm about to take him right now.
You about to take him right now? Okay, now our commissioner, one of the commissioners of the primetime league, just made a declaration. He said he's about to take the number one running back for the Washington Commanders. Mind you, Antonio Gibson and Brian Wow. You Antonio Gibson and Brian Robinson are already off the board. He's declaring that J.D. McKissic is going to be the number one running back for the Commanders this year. Wow. And he said it with his whole chest.
The number one running back in Washington.
The number one running. Okay.
What are he coming back from? ACL, right?
Who? McKissic? No, he good.
No, but what are he coming back from?
No, he wasn't hurt.
He wasn't hurt last year.
Not last year.
No, he wasn't. He just ran for 300 yards.
I mean, he's a pass catching back, though.
He's garbage. He keep on coming from
McKissic. I mean, he said it.
He's garbage. I'm looking at his stats. He's horrible.
Yeah, he's not good.
He's reaching for it.
All right, bro. Dez is leaving. He's picked half his team. Dez is satisfied with his team. He's rolling out. But that's we covered a good potential about five rounds of the primetime team. So it's gonna be interesting to see how this finishes. I'm gonna get the draft board. I'm gonna do my complete analysis, and I'm gonna post an article on fantasyfinance.com. So be on the lookout for that. Just take a look at the team. And, you know, if you get a chance to read the article, weigh in on what you think of who has the best team. Matter of fact, Petty P, you got a second? You got a second? Now, me and you talked off real quick. You said that you had your top three fantasy teams on the board so far. Who's your teams that you selected? Who do you think is your top three again?
No cap is my favorite team.
Uh-huh. He's number one?
No, he's not number one.
Are you just saying your top three in general?
No Cap, Car Wash, and Keith.
Are your best teams?
They're my top three teams off the draft board so far.
So No Cap, Car Wash, and Pap. Those are your top three?
Top three.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to give, if those are your top three, then I'm going to go Aaron. I'm going to go, I'm going to go Jeff, and I'm going to go,
McPherson is the quarterback.
I might stick with Driz. Driz made sure to cover himself with the rest of his draft after he drafted Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders was the only pick to me that was very questionable from Driz. Just based off the news that's coming out from Miles Sanders this year, but he got Cordell Patterson, who should still be involved. I do think. I don't want to give up no extra tape because it still moves to be made. But Atlanta's running back situation could be in flux. I'll just leave it at that. But I do. Cordell Patterson should still be involved. Naeem Hines is a good pickup. There's been talk from Frank Reich to be able to use him more this offseason. This season, more so as opposed to just running the ball strictly with Jonathan Taylor, using Hines in the passing game because I still believe that the Colts are trying to get back to being a more pass dominant team that can run the ball, because you have a guy in Jonathan Taylor who did what he did last season. He was highly efficient in several running back metrics last year. I don't want to put that on his shoulders to expect him to do that kind of production again, but I don't expect him to have that drastic of a drop-off in 2022 for Jonathan Taylor. But Naeem Hines is expected to be more involved in the offense, especially as a pass catcher. So that's not a bad pick, picking him up in the 10th round. So, but this is it. We're going to shut it down. If you like the podcast, make sure you follow it on all your podcast platforms like Google, Apple, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeartRadio. We're trying to get on Audacity right now. The podcast is also being put on YouTube, so check out our YouTube channel at Fantasy's Finest. You can also check us out on all your social medias, like we mentioned earlier, at TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're all on those at Fantasy's Finest as well. And you can follow me at @hype_finest on Twitter. We're going to shut it down after five rounds. This has been the most entertaining live draft. Shout out to the commissioner, Jeff, for allowing Fantasy's Finest to be able to come in and analyze the draft board, get to interact with the league mates, and just being a part I wanted to do interviews, but I was covering the draft. We ran out of time. I still want to do them. I still want to do the interviews with the with you as the commissioner and Aaron as the reigning champ. So I'm gonna be in contact with you to get that done. Yeah. All right. But that's gonna be it for the Fantasy Finest. We are checking out. Shout out to commissioner for hooking us up and letting us come through and do this. This has been a great experience. This is it. We'll talk to you in our next episode. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy's Finest podcast. Be sure to join the community on Facebook and follow us on Twitter too at the Fantasy's Finest. See you next episode.